It's time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon, and this is In the Conversation, the podcast. We are back. We are back. Well, I'm back. Ali is away. Shout out to Muhammad. He will be back soon. In the meantime, in between time, it's us chopping it up with each other. Well, me chopping it up with you, you listening, hopefully you commenting or hitting me and saying, yo, da-da-da-da-da, you know, whatever. Conversation type shit. But anyway, how y'all doing? Okay. All right, well, I'm glad you finally admitted that. That's a big step. Anyway, yeah, man, I'm good, too. I'm good, too. Thank you for asking. I'm chilling. Just came from outside. Had to get out there in some of this spring weather. You know, they try to do it real limited. It's warm on Tuesday, cold on Wednesday. We don't know what's going to happen Thursday. Limited time only weather. Go out and enjoy that shit. It's warm, but it's overcast. You know what I mean? It's sunny, but it's cold. Who knows? Anyway, yeah, I just came from being outside a little bit. It was good. Went and got some food for later on, and I'm excited about that. That's it. Regular life, you know, just in the world. Living life. Shout out to everybody that was in the spot at the Read the Room in New Haven this past weekend. We had a good time. Shout out to Sean Murray and Dame FK. And honestly, shout out to the Connecticut comedy community. They've been showing me love since damn near the beginning of my career, to be totally honest with you. I go way back with the Connecticut comedy scene, whether it was Jackson at Joker's Wild, whether it was my man Chris Clark, Marshall Brandon, you know, like that was some of my first, like, out of town type, let's tell jokes outside of the city, make some money outside of the city, go, you know, that was, yeah, they were early in the development and have always shown love just up until this past weekend. So I always feel good. Stopped through Sandra's Next Generation and, got a nice little plate complete with the banana pudding. That's crazy. And the sweet potato cornbread. Yeah, it was a nice little moment. It was a nice little moment. Yeah, shout out to Connecticut. Also Connecticut Milford Arts Council coming up on April 15th. Come on out. Come on out. Tickets are on sale. DamianLemon.com. You could get a pair. You could get two pair. Have a pair. Or go solo. Whatever you want to do. Just come through. Shout out to the people that was at Eastville. I had a nice little spot, had a nice little show at Eastville also that Friday night. That was cool. I was at a New York Comedy Club with that Thursday. That was, you know, we was outside. We moving around. We moving and we shaking and we shaking and we moving and I'm whatever, talking. I say this, on the way back from New Haven, driving back, I listened to that Kanye album. Get that Kanye album a spin. I was a little reluctant, to be totally honest with you. I know Kanye's partially canceled, right? I say partially because I don't know if it's holding. He's canceled for multiple reasons by multiple factions. You know, there's people in the black community feel like he on some bullshit ever since that slavery was a choice thing. Then I know, you know, the Jewish community feels a certain type of way about, the swastika on the t-shirt, you know what I mean? And all of that other, you know, and whatever, you know, stupid shit that he's done. You know what I'm saying? And he's got a history of doing stupid shit. You know what I'm saying? Or at least just some shenanigans. He's always had a history of that. But for years and years and years, up until probably Pablo, you know, the album was always the redeeming factor. Be like, I don't know with this guy, this, that, and the other thing. And then the album drop, you're like, wait a minute now, hold on. This shit kind of fire. You know what I'm saying? Reluctant bop. Wait a minute, hold on. Reluctant bop number four. Wait a minute, this whole shit is cracking. I think that was probably the last album where it was like, he was making a case for, you know, his you know, I won't say crazy because you can't say that no more, but, you know, his idiosyncrasies, his erratic nature. After that, to me, a lot of the albums have kind of been, hey, you know. But so I wasn't really pressed to hear it, because also Kanye is the king of, I'm going to put the album up for a second, then I might snatch that shit down, you know, and then tweak it and throw another song over there, or take a hi-hat off of that and move that bridge, and, you know, becomes like some type of living document. And you'll never hear the same album twice, you know. So now you can't even trust what you heard. But again, I'm on my way back from New Haven. I got some time. I'm in the whip. This is the perfect time to really give it a go. And I'm be honest with you. I only listened to it one time, but I wasn't mad. I wasn't mad. I don't think it's a great album. I don't think it's a terrible album. I don't think it's up there with some of his best work, but it's better than some of the most recent stuff. I'll say that. Definitely. I think that on this album, though, he feels like he's more so showcasing his production skill more so than his lyrics. Like, I don't even hear him rapping too much on it. It's real sparse, which he kind of, I don't say pioneered, but that is definitely something that he's kind of leaned into and inspired a movement of those, like, you know, like, I don't even want to call it sparse raps, but like it's not lyrically dense. It's just, it's almost like little asides. You know what I'm saying? What? You know, all of that shit, whether it's like the Travis Scott's or the, you know, I guess the Yeats. People be, yo, my homie been really like, yo, you like Yeet? Listen to this Yeet. You ain't feeling Yeet? You don't like Come and Go? Listen to this. Yo, Yeet, this was most accessible. No, this. I'm like, all right, Pop, I do not need to hear Yeet. You know what I'm saying? I'm cool. I don't really like a lot of that. I don't like a lot of that. Anyway, that was a swerve. Back to the Ye shit. But yeah, it just felt like it's more of a showcase of his production, and it was a reminder that he could get busy when it comes to production. Lyrically, nothing stands out for me. Like, I can't even, like, I don't even have like a line. Typically, I listen to a Kanye album. There's quite a few lines that I'm like, oh yeah, that's slick, or that's funny, or whatever. I ain't hear none of that. I just kind of heard production and sequencing. I do think the album is a little too long, to be totally honest with you. Could have felt like a double disc or something like that. I had a long drive, so it didn't really kill me. But I, even in the whip, I'm like, damn, this is still Kanye's album? Or Ye? Still the Ye album? I will say, you know what's funny though, and this was the cool part. This was cool. I found out a little later. My favorite record on it is the Punch Drunk. I think it's called Punch Drunk. Maybe Punch Drunk Love. I think it's Punch Drunk, because it reminds me of old Kanye. You know, with the sped up soul sample, and you know what I mean, the chops and all of that. I was like, oh, he flexing. He letting you know what he used to do. Because I remember there was one video where he put out. He was getting busy on like the MP or the, you know, something like that, and just showing you like, I'm really him still. Like, throughout it all, I'm still nice. You know what I'm saying? Like, look, I could be polarizing, but when it come to me and this beat machine, I'm one of the best. And it was like, yeah, nah, for sure. And this joint was like, it felt like a throwback to that. I come to find out Young Northwest did that. What? Oh, all right then, shorty. You know, man, I kind of be looking the other way with all the Northwest coverage. I've talked about that. I just feel like it's a little weird. But if that's how she is producing at this age, it could be a problem. You know, yeah, nah, they always say that's Kanye's spawn. You know, they definitely like, yo, that's little him. Yo, she bodied that. She bodied that, you know? So, yeah, that was, and it was my favorite joint, you know? I didn't even know that going into it. I was like, all right, just the chop. I was like, okay. Yeah, so, wow. Wow, the family, you know what I mean? It's the talent runs in the family, you know? So that's what's up. Yeah, so overall, it was okay. It wasn't whack. It was okay. I don't know how many spins the album's gonna get. I've spun Punch Drunk quite a few times, but that's really it. I done isolated it from the album. What y'all think? Let me know. You messing with it, you mess with Kanye, whatever. You know. I watched the verses. I didn't even know it was a verses at first till I heard, you know, I started seeing little pop-ups about it. It was Tank and Tyrese. Now, I have a passing knowledge of both of their catalogs. You know, I mean, obviously, I know Tyrese since he was singing on the bus, you know what I'm saying, and certain records that he got. And then Tank got records. I think they both are, like, overtly R&B, which is good. Like, they outside of the fact that Tyrese has become, like, a movie star, you know, or an actor that's in big movies. And sometimes that could overshadow the fact that he is an R&B singer. I think they kind of represent for that true, like, I don't know if blue collar R&B is the best description, but just like grounded R&B, like real soulful, real like black ass R&B. You know, it ain't always, it's not watered down. It's in the tradition of older R&B acts, you know. And you know, they've had a career based on that, you know. And it was all right. It was kind of what I expected. You know, Tank, obviously, I was talking about last week, he got the R&B Money podcast. So he talked, you know, he's been talking for a living. He's been talking, you know, his banter is nice. And I remember there was a spell, I'm almost positive, where Tank was doing stand-up for a second, you know. And then, you know, he's doing Broadway or whatever. But, like, he was on his showman. He was on real showmanship, real old school R&B showman. They both were, but Tank was all the way there. And it's like, old school R&B showman is there's nothing casual about it. Everything is over the top. Can I sing to you? You know, all of that. You know what I'm saying? I'm that's direct eye contact with this woman. We in, like, for sure, intimate proximity. You know what I'm saying? Things could really happen right now. I'm singing into your soul, girl. And there was a lot of swooning women there. You know what I'm saying? The thirst levels were high. And they were definitely exploiting it for what it was. This is on B. This is how it's supposed to be. You know what I'm saying? And I think that Tank was very, like, honed. You know, somebody that's on the road a lot, you know, like, that's working, that's, you know, doing show after show after show, not too much ring rust. Tyrese, who probably could have been the favorite to the casuals because he probably has the bigger records, and again, he has the bigger profile. He kind of, Tyrese came with his patented level of weird, you know, like, it's just real weird, real offbeat, odd moments of posturing, standing on just arbitrary business. You know, like, kind of going back and forth. We can't take a joke, but then, all right, I'll be the butt of this joke. Like, you know, like, it didn't seem like he was taking it as serious. It ain't seem like he was all the way in it like that. Seemed like kind of delusional. Now, I don't know if it's all the way, that's a persona, that's something he leans into or whatever. But, you know, him at the end saying, you know, I obviously won. I don't think you won, bro. You know what I'm saying? I don't think you won. I think you could have won. I think had you show a little tighter, it just felt like, I noticed this is something that happens in verses sometimes, that people don't take their presentation serious. You know, like, you think you think you better than you really are. You think you resonate. You think it's going to be a walk in the park. Oftentimes you might underestimate your opponent and not really put any energy into the presentation. And I think that's what happened. I felt like he was kind of moving on shuffle. Sometimes it would be cool, but it just didn't feel like he had a plan. Whereas you going over looking at Tank, he's in sync with his singers. He's got slick little banter. They were both kind of shady to each other throughout the night. And then it kind of, the ice broke, and then it's, oh, we brothers. You know what I mean? And you know, look, that's the thing. I guess Joe Budden famously says none of these people really mess with each other. You realize that. You see that a lot. Like, they might have been in a group, TGT, at one point. You know, shout out to Genuine. But they might not be in touch. We talked about this last week. When the last time you talked to such and such? Speaking of that, I seen that J. Cole interview, and J. Cole like, yo, I ain't really talked to Kendrick or Drake in 2 years. In 2 years. But I love them both. See? What's going on, man? Listen, it don't really be what you think it is. So anyway, there was moments where they were shooting at each other, but then it's like, nah, it's all love, you know, whatever. Then it was a moment where, you know, I think Tyrese started to feel like Tank was getting the best of him. So he I don't want to say it's a low blow, but he definitely went for the ego in the way of, yo, he's an opener. You know what I'm saying? This guy's an opener. He's supposed to set the tone. You know what I mean? He's supposed to set the tone. He got jokes. He's a comedian. You know what I mean? All of this. I ain't like that. He's an opener. And Tank shot back. Listen, brother, I sell tickets. I ain't no opener. I headline tours. I done headline more tours than you. I sell hard tickets. What you know about hard tickets? Now we get into the rigmarole. He's like, well, you play lobbies. You play hotel lobbies. That's starting to get nasty. And that's when I'm like, oh, shit. I'm tapped in now. I can't even remember what songs is playing. I barely knew. I mean, I know the hits for both of them, but when you get into the deep cuts of the I'm going to bring out LaToya Luckett of it all, you know. But anyway, that went on so long, I damn near missed my spot at the show. I was running late messing with this Versus. It was what it was. It was all right. I feel like Versus might have lost a bit of its, not luster, but its momentum. You know. Maybe, or even their promotion budget. It's easy to promote to people when everybody in the house. You know what I'm saying? But when you got to compete against just outside is the ultimate distraction still. That's it. No, you know what? Is outside the ultimate distraction, or is the phone the ultimate distraction? I guess that probably has a lot to do with, like, generation, you know. But, yeah, I'm curious. What still has the most pull? Is it your phone? Because your phone can be free. Outside, you go outside, you run the risk. I'd spend some money, you know, not even just that. You got to leave your house. You got to leave your house to go outside. It's always 9 times out of 10, it feels great to leave the house when you finally cross that threshold and you're in the wild. You know, for me, it's typically rewarding. Yeah, I'm glad I came out. Sometimes I go outside, you know, since I work at night, there's times when I don't get outside till after dark and I feel the air out there. And I'm like, damn, I missed a whole day. This ain't good. I don't like missing a whole day. I don't never really feel that way about the phone. Like, it's been a long time since I've been like, damn, I missed everything on Twitter. You know, because Twitter was one of those, like, that Twitter could turn into something years ago. Twitter could turn into something and you get to it late. You like, wait a minute, I missed that? I don't feel that no more. But, yeah. So, it was cool. I don't know if they got any more planned or what the next one planned is. But, you know, it was all right. It was interesting to see. I spoke about the J. Cole interview. I saw him and Cam'ron, and I actually appreciated the interview. I found myself saying to me, having a conversation with me, saying to myself, I said, hey, D, I said, "What up?" I said, "Yo, man, musically, it's not my thing, but I kind of like how my man is representing himself in this interview. I like the transparent nature and, you know, how he's kind of, do I want to call it limited accountability? He's taking accountability in his Cameron situation, but then, you know, we're in the era of the receipts. So there is now a good amount of J. Cole hate bubbling. I've seen this one woman called J. Cole and Drake white women. Seen it go that far. But basically, just like some people feel like he's playing the fans. Some people feel like he calibrates his energy based on who it's directed to and whatever, whatever. I did feel at one point he did throw a rock and hide his hand with the Wale Kanye thing way back in the day. And then somebody brought up the No Name thing. And this is all after I watched the Cameron thing and came to my own thing. Like, yeah, I kind of like what's going on here. But, yeah, a lot of people feel a certain type of way about him. I don't say he can't win for loser because I think he has such a rapt fan base that he's straight, you know. But I do like that he somewhat, well, with the Cam thing, he explained the whole thing, how he felt about with Cam threatening him with the lawsuit or basically threatening him with a lawsuit and how, you know, how he was kind of putting Cam off and whatever. But it made sense based on his creative process. He explained why and how it all happened, blah, blah, blah. And then Cam asked him about the whole Kendrick and Drake shit. And, you know, he talked about his part with the apology and his thinking behind it. And while, again, it may not have been what I would have liked to see or what I would have hoped to see, I appreciate and respect the move. It's a big move to do, you know, and to stand on it. So I appreciate that. But what was interesting to me was still how he kind of spoke about how he feel about it all, like he was walking on eggshells. And if this is the big three, then you got just as much, you know, stake in it as anybody else, even though you didn't engage in battle and maybe you don't want to engage in battle, but you were part of this entire thing in the beginning from the onset, you know, and then you threw something out even though you took it back. You could speak about it frankly. And I think he didn't speak about it frankly, and Kendrick don't speak at all. Kendrick is like, listen, I said everything I need to say on those records, and Drake is somewhere, you know, stewing. You know what I'm saying? Trying to cook up this Iceman. Well, if that's ever going to come. But I would really like it. I don't know at what point in life this is ever going to happen, because maybe it still feels loaded or whatever. But at some point, I want to hear all three of them, like, really just flat out say, this is what happened. This is how I felt about it. I heard that, and I was like, hell nah. And I, you know what I mean? I called my engineer, and we was like this, that, and the other thing. This is how I felt when I heard that, and I was like, what? You know what I mean? I want people to be straight up honest about it. Not like, I still got love for everybody involved, and, you know, because I don't think Drake nor Kendrick got love for each other. They might respect each other begrudgingly, but I don't think it's no love. You know what I'm saying? I don't think so. But I, you know, listen, I'm just somebody off to the side. I watched a couple movies. TV-wise, I've been catching up on Cross. I'm probably still a couple episodes back. But you know what, man? It's fun. It's a fun TV show. It's a fun detective show. Black lead, a nice amount of Black characters and characters of color. You know, they weave a little bit of drama, some action, a little bit of romance in there. It could get a little cheesy at times. But I appreciate it. And I'm sure Ben's Chili Bowl definitely appreciates it, because they're getting shine. They're getting shine like the Comedy Cellar used to get shine on Louie. Boy, that is the backdrop. That's the peach pit. Ben's Chili Bowl. But anyway, yeah, it's been all right. I'm catching up to it. I'm enjoying it. It's something fun to watch. I haven't cracked Paradise at all. I think it's over. but I haven't jumped into it. I started to, and I was kind of dozing, not because it was bad, but because it was just a little too dense for where I was. My fatigue levels wasn't really up to snuff. I thought I could just throw it on casually and just watch it. And nah, I said, let me turn this off. This is one of them things that need my attention. This ain't no show that you could just view passively and get the, you know, get some knowledge. Not no knowledge, but, you know, get some reward out of it. So that's what I was watching. I went into my little stack of movies that I had on deck, and I watched Mandy, which is a real campy, gory, funny horror type movie. I don't think it's a B movie. I think maybe the aesthetic might be B movie. Nicolas Cage is the lead in that joint. And it's wild. It's like some real over the top Texas Chainsaw Massacre, like a lot of gore, a lot of blood spilling and squirting, you know, all of that, swords and chainsaws and, you know, crossbows. Brutal, but then kind of like not oddball, but like, what do you call it when it's just kind of, I guess, like hazy? You know, LSD has a little bit to do with it, so it has a little like druggy vibe to it. You know what I'm saying? I can't think of the name that I would use to describe it, but it was all right. I wouldn't say it's a must-see, because that's how it was presented to me. Friend of mine, shout out Joe DeRosa. He told me about this shit years ago. He's a huge, like, horror guy. And I was like, yo, I'm not a big horror. I said, yo, recently, I sound like Willie the Kid. I said, I haven't really liked horror in a long time. I felt like horror got real gory and, like, just over the top, like, with the Saw and the Final Destination and all of that. It's not as, like, suspense and, you know, like real deal scary like maybe it used to be when I was a kid. Or maybe that's just because I was a kid. But I was like, yo, but I know you like horror a lot. Throw me some titles. And he listed probably about 9 or 10 movies. And I remember Mandy was on that list. And so I remember one time I seen it at the library. I was like, oh, there go Mandy, let me grab that. And then, yeah, I watched it. It was all right. Again, not a must-see, but if you come across it, check it out. You know, if you enjoyed certain things like Weapons, or if you enjoyed, even before Weapons, Barbarian, then you might fuck with this. You might fuck with it. And if you have seen it, let me know. Now, this was the unintended treat. I told you last week how sometimes I'm coming across some of these just like obscure, you, I don't even call it obscure, it's all on YouTube, they're all on just Google. But, you know, my algorithm be like just spinning me through some of these little YouTube back blocks. And I came across, I'm just scrolling through, I came across a YouTube account that was like, yo, we got Joe's Bed-Stuy, Spike Lee's thesis film. I said, what? Wait a minute. Now I've heard, I'm a huge Spike Lee fan. And, you know, we both went to, he went to Morehouse, but he took some classes over Clark Atlanta with Dr. Herbert Eichlenberger, rest in peace. But I took his class as well. And I think it was because of Spike, actually. I think I had heard him say that, or maybe later on. But this was in the MassCom building back in the day. This back when Wynton Mayo Grady used to be up in there teaching. Anyway, but I'd always heard about, you know, Joe's Bed-Stuy. He always talked about that. He also talks about, you know, taking the camera out during the blackout or whatever. So I always heard student film. I always wanted to see the student film. I think I'd heard, what's my man's name? Jim Jarmusch. So Jim Jarmusch, I heard him say there was a dope film, and, you know, Spike looks up to him because he was like a couple years ahead of him at the, I want to say they was in NYU, right? Anyway, so, yo, they had it. I'm like, yo, wait a minute. I'm thinking it's going to be like a little 20-minute student film type of thing. That shit is an hour. And I'm going to tell you, it's good. It's really good. Like, it was, I mean, especially for a student film, it's good. It's, I mean, it's worth watching. You go on YouTube and find it, type it in. It's worth watching. It's not the best. It's not the best quality, but it's decent. It's decent. It'll get you through it. It's good acting. The music scoring, obviously Bill Lee pops, but then just like the sound, like the music scoring and taking you back to like old school New York, like WBLS, and you know what I mean? Shit like that playing. And then it's the student film, right? So this is all NYU, and you know, he went to NYU with the Dundatas, with a lot of people, because the people, when I'm looking at the credits at the end, first of all, so Spike, written, directed, I say produced or whatever, Spike Lee. Then this is back when him and Ernest Dickerson was still like, you know, thick as thieves. You know what I'm saying? It was the 1-2, you know what I mean? He was his cinematographer, so photograph Ernest Dickerson. Then on the motherfucking associate or the assistant camera, Ang Lee. That shit is crazy. This shit like the symphony. Then on the credits, Futura. Like, shit is stupid. Shit is stupid. It's a good little movie. It's a good hour. Just an hour. Good hour. Good story. You know what I'm saying? Basically about like a stubborn man's ego. You know what I'm saying? And like kind of the consequences of it all, and sometimes how you could, you know, you get so caught up in the principle that you can miss the whole big picture, you know, like that's kind of the essence of it all without spoiling it at all. But it's worth checking out. I was like, yo, when I came across it, I said, oh, this is crazy. I came like, it felt like, I guess how the thrifters feel when they come and they find some shit that's like, oh shit, $3, you know, or like when you know how if you were into baseball cards or comic books and you come across like something, oh shit, what? Like it's just a gem. I just stumbled upon it. That was crazy. Then I go to the actual account. Right. After I watched that, I'm like, well, let me see what else they got. Yo, another student thesis film, they had Reginald Hudlin's original House Party, which was a 20-minute film. And I'm going to tell you this, it is not, it ain't too much like what the original was. It's the same essence, the same spirit, even maybe even the same wardrobe as a pertains to Pops, but the tone is a little bit, it's not as light, it ain't as many jokes, but it's good. 20-minute situation, the same story. Young man want to go to the party, Pops is like, no. Young man sneaks out to the party, you know, go see the girl and, you know, everything else, but it's just something to see because the big screen movie version, the New Line Cinema version, is definitely blown out. It's a big version of what this was. But it's good to see. It's good to see. I was like, wow, that was dope. And that just came out of nowhere. Like, that just came out of nowhere, the back-to-back. That was like just an impromptu double feature. I was like, oh, this shit kind of crazy. I almost didn't even watch it. I was like, I almost didn't watch either one. I was like, oh, wow, they got that? You know, I don't do the watch later anymore because I told y'all my watch later was up to like 5,000. I had to search the internet on a way to kind of bring that down to zero. And ever since then, I've never done the watch later. I'm going to watch it or I'm never going to watch it. Or, you know, maybe I'll see it again. Something was like, yo, nah, fuck that. Let's see how it is. And 10, 15 minutes into the Joe's Best, I was like, yo, this is way better than I expected it to be. You know, not and then it just made me realize it was Spike is Spike. Spike been Spike since the door. Since the door, like just tapped in. You know, he's like OG now, an old head now. You know what I mean? But like back then, yeah, he's a phenomenon. So that was dope. Damn, that just reminded me of something else. I can't think of it now. I was going to say something else, but I don't know. I can't even think of it. But yeah, that it was definitely worth it, you know. So check it out. It's on YouTube. It's definitely worth checking out. That's it. That's it, man. This was a shorty. This is an in and out like the burger, you know. Yeah, man. April 15th, Milford Arts Council. Where am I at this? Am I this weekend? I'm at the Brooklyn Improv this weekend. It just opened up. Brooklyn Improv, I think Friday night show. Ticket link. I might throw that on the website at some point. I'm at Comedy in Harlem on Saturday for the little April Fool's joint. Then I'm at New York Comedy Club on Sunday. And if anything else changes, that'll probably be on the Instagram stories. But yeah, that's it for now. I feel like that was enough. Ramble damble, you know? But anyway, I appreciate y'all listening. And as always, tell a friend to tell a friend. And even an enemy to gain the conversation. I'm out. Conversation.